listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 8th, 2017. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And also here with Michael Kelly as well.
Good evening, everyone. Happy to be here.
And so the Spirit of Life program is a weekly service, of course. It's an educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. And in addition to this weekly service, we have several other educational programs, including EmpowerRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics. Also, Paranexus.org, which is an association of anomalous researchers. And we have MetaphysicsInstitute.org, which is our flagship school that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical topics such as spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, and many other areas. And Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone courses in metaphysics as well as degrees at tfuniversity.org. It's good to see everyone with us tonight in the chat room. We welcome you, and we welcome those listening to the archive as well. Glad you could join us. I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief. These are the principles that everything we do is based on. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to read the expanded version of these 9 principles of belief, please visit us at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So as I mentioned, it's good to have everybody with us tonight. If you've got a question you'd like to see addressed on this program tonight and you're in the chat room, please type it in the chat room. We'll get to one or two that was mentioned, one on change. And I guess we can just do that. And then a little bit later in the program, we will pull some inner oracle cards for those who would like them. Last week, I guess I should mention that toward the end of the program, the internet died and dropped everything off. We tried to get it going again, but we just couldn't. And it was like the last 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. So sorry for that. Things happen. I don't know why it couldn't have happened a whole different time slot, but it chose the last part of the program. I guess it could have been worse than it happened in the beginning. So, Dr. Hunter, let's talk about change.
Whoa, boy, that's such a big topic, you know, and the question that was asked, you know, some people deal with it better than others, you know, and I kind of divide it into 2 categories. When you're experiencing a change, there's the one you want and then the one that you didn't expect coming. So I think that, you know, let's take the one that you want first. There's always going to be adjustments, but you've desired to make a change. Anytime you desire to make a change, there is going to be a natural process. Oh, you know, it's everything from people around you to, let's say you decide to move across the country. You're changing friends, you know, friends behind, but there's something positive, something that you're looking forward to. Now, maybe you get there and you say, well, this wasn't very smart. You know, the worst thing that can happen is you go back. That's what I always say. When I was young, I got very good words of wisdom given to me. And life is like getting on a bus. And you always know that the bus route always makes a loop. So you get on a bus, you get lost. The worst that's going to happen, it's going to take you right back to where you started. So, you know, there's always that point. The second kind is, life happens. You know, things get thrown at you. Stuff, you didn't see that coming, it's out of left field. And, you know, what do you do with, I have to change. For one reason or a dozen reasons, I have to make changes. And, you know, I think that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, you know, in her Seven Stages of Death is always appropriate in those moments, I think, you know, the shock and the, you know, the various stages. But I think once that initial impact of I have to make a change occurs, then, you know, we naturally, some other things inside of us just start to kick in. And what do I need to do? What's the next 5 minutes? What's the next hour? You know, the processing of emotion, a processing of thoughts. And it kind of all, you know, just kind of propels. And you have to give yourself time. And again, it depends on the kind of change that's been imposed upon you. And, you know, this is when I think that, you know, we have to take it to a higher level, that we're all in this grid line of intersections where, we can project for all the wonderful things in the world we want, but it also comes with things we don't expect because it's out of our vision, it's out of our frame of reference, and you know what? Life just happens sometimes. There are these other factors that we can't always consider or think about. So I think that process, and I can assure you that I have been through my share of, where did that come from? And gathering my forces to say, well, let's see what this brings. Sometimes it's more emotional because that is not the picture I had for myself, you know, and there's this transition. And I do know about life that you have to get about the doing and sometimes process your emotions later or process them slowly so that emotions don't run the show. Because they will. And I've seen this a lot of times where people can't cope with something occurring and they go into this emotional tailspin and they just can't, they almost get paralyzed. So I have a little trick for that. Whatever kind of change that you are experiencing is allow yourself to have an emotion and then get on. I know my cat, he's mad at me because I won't let him out. So he's going to do some talking. He's participating. Jeez. So it's to allow yourself the emotion, but put a clock on it. Give yourself 10 minutes to say, okay, this is emotion. And then get about your day. If it comes up again, say, I'm feeling really emotional. Again, give yourself 10 minutes. Anytime that emotion does a real big tailspin, it lasts longer than half an hour, I just say, go back to bed and start over. Seriously, sometimes just laying down for a few minutes, you know, will kind of level out the body and the chemistry, calm you down, and then move forward. And it really is, sometimes it feels like you're trudging through a slough, but you are making progress, and it's just to keep going. I believe that there's this biology in us, not just our spiritual element, but there's a biology that we all have that wants to keep going. And we just don't often know what that looks like. So then I just have this, I have no idea what today is going to bring. But life's an experiment. And I remind myself, I'm a spiritual being in a body having a human experiment. And I have no idea what's going to happen. So I hope that helps at least, you know, give some little ideas for thought, Dr. Kelly.
You know, in one of the courses, I was just trying to remember which course it is. It talks about change and why people resist change. You know, and I probably talk about it more than once in the courses. I know I talk about it in the leadership course because a lot of people resist change. I mean, a lot of people resist change. Now, I'll give you some thoughts on it, on how I view it. First of all, I suppose I'm one of the odd people who I like change. I embrace change. Now, there are different types of changes, too. You know, there are what we might call good changes. You know, you win the lottery. Well, there's a lot of changes there, but we probably wouldn't gripe much about it. But
I love that kind of change.
Yeah. But so really, it's like anything, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Change is either good or bad in the eye of the beholder. And so things change. The fact of life, and I know we all know this on a conscious level or on an intellectual level, change, the only constant there is change. That's just part of life. Things change. They change all the time. That's just part of it. And so we have a choice. We can either embrace it or not embrace it. We can embrace it or fight it. Now let's talk about change. Why do people resist change? And I discussed this. Fran reminded me it's in the, it's in M3, Metaphysical Psychology course. And I know I also address it in the leadership course, which is M14. A lot of managers have to deal with that. You know, people don't like change. They all gripe. And if you're analytical in nature, you're going to be more resistant to change than otherwise. You know, analyzers, people who are very analytical, they don't like change because they've spent forever, you know, researching, finding information, calculating, extrapolating it, and thinking about it, and then wanting more information. And so once they go through all that work, they don't want to change. But, again, change is part of life. So why do people resist change? Well, it's like an onion. You need to peel the layers away. You know, when I ask my seminar groups, you know, why do people hate change? And one of the first answers that always comes up is, well, comfort zones and habits kind of together. Yeah, that's true. We all have our comfort zones. We have our habits. We might be in a place that we like the way things are, so forth. But when you really start peeling away the onion layers, you get down to the very core of why people don't like change. And the reason is because they feel a loss of control or a perceived loss of control or they worry about a loss of control. That's at the core of why people resist change. They don't want to lose control. And so we have to assess our own attitude toward change. And a lot of times when things change, you know, it's the unknown. We're not sure maybe how things are going to work out. So our imaginations run wild, and we come up and concoct probably a lot of the most negative things that could happen. And we get ourselves worked up and emotional, and, you know, that's fear. You know, the acronym is false expectations appearing real. So we can get all emotional over it, but the thing is that you've got to look for what the proverbial silver lining. Frankly, you wouldn't be where you are if there was no change, and you can't get to where you want to go if there's no change. And so you got to embrace the changes. And I'm also a believer that you can orchestrate deliberate changes. You know, you can control them to a point. Yes, things come out of the blue at times. I get it. But we live a stable life. We make sure we make the right choices at the best of our ability, make the right decisions. And then we'll see certain things we may want to change. So we'll orchestrate those changes deliberately. And, of course, then they're not so hard to deal with because that's what we want. For other things, you just got to assess it in a non-emotional way. You know, what's the worst that's going to happen to you? I mean, in most cases, the worst that's going to happen is not dying, not getting hurt. In most cases, okay, there's no one rule for everything. But, you know, we don't want to hype it up. We don't want to see it as the worst happening. We just want to say, okay, you know, one door closes, another one opens. This is the end of one chapter. Let's open the next chapter. And that's another thing about changes in life. I mean, there are things I didn't want to give up in my life. And I spent decades doing stuff, and it was no longer going to happen. And, you know, you kind of go through a little bit of a grieving process, I suppose. But that's the attitude that I had. Okay, that chapter has closed. I'm now entering into another chapter with other things that I can do and will happen and experiences. And you can always maintain the fond fond memories of that previous chapters, as they may be. So just remember that, that we fear change, we resist change because we fear losing control. Well, it doesn't mean we're going to lose control. We just, it's, you know, fear of the unknown. That's another word, common answer that comes up, fear of the unknown. And it's close, you know, we just fear losing control. So those are my 2.5 cents worth of comments on
it. Well, you know, the issue of control has come up, and I'd just like to throw this out there. One of the hardest things for me to admit is I love change. I love changes in my life, but I love change that I control.
Yeah, exactly.
And when it's not in my control, then it's a, you know, completely different ball game. Now, I would like to acknowledge that there's a lot of circumstances for people where it is completely out of your control. You can't control, let's say, getting a disease or being moved out of a neighborhood or being attacked by the enemy, or there's a whole number of factors here. And this is when I kind of find it offensive when people say, oh, everything happens for a reason. Well, the reason is people. People are the reason that a lot of changes do occur that aren't necessarily good for everyone. So what we have to do, all of us, is no matter what we're doing in our lives, I got to throw this out there, is just do the very best that you can with what you have without taking on the whole world and without feeling guilty for the whole world, that there's, you know, always the bigger pictures, and remember that we're all just people doing the very best we can. And that's what that is. Change is a constant. It's always going to be, I think, when we do want things to be, you know, too secure and too confident, you know, we get too confident in that. And, you know, you've lived a certain kind of, exactly. And a comfort that, that's a myth that a lot of people have bought into. You know, it's not even, well, for me and my family, it was just my grandparents didn't know if the crops would come in. And truly, I remember a time, I don't know if everybody's going to roll their eyes back in their head, but as a kid, we had kerosene lanterns and had to haul water and, you know, coal for the stove. And so, you know, power is a privilege. You know, having running water and toilets is all a privilege, but we now see that as the constant. And if we don't have it, we're mad, you know. And so there's these various levels of comfort that we've kind of fallen into in a new world. And yet other people are dealing with situations that are, much more antagonistic from their environment. You know, they're dealing with oppression. The list is very long, and I don't need to say all that. It's just we're doing the best we can, and this is our responsibility to keep, you know, supporting each other, contributing to each other as best we can. So that's that, because change is going to happen, but we have to stand our ground. Hopefully that change will be more positive and continue to, because I know there's a, you know, a certain kind of climate out there these days that doesn't feel so good. So just to, you know, stand firm, everybody, and just help each other out and get through the changes. So,
yeah, and look for the positives in them. There's always positives in them, as Tracy has pointed out numerous times in my life. And you can find those positives if you look for them. And consider it all part of your path. Your growing experience, your evolution, your spiritual evolution, that's part of it. We learn the lessons. Again, we wouldn't be where we are if there hadn't been changes. So we have to embrace them and keep going. And you know what? Things change. You almost have to take an attitude. Okay, so what? What's it going to do? Is the world going to blow up? No. Okay? Just, it's okay for change. And if you can control those changes, all the better. So, all right.
I'm going to draw a card, if that's all right.
Yes, please.
Greatness to deliver. We can segue into greatness to deliver, if as long as my cat isn't doing his choir song in the background. Uh-huh. He's a funny guy, you know. He's 14 now. He averages around 18 to 23 pounds. It depends on the season. And he sleeps a lot, but when he's awake, he's the boss. It's like the whole world has to stop. I'm going to read Greatness to Deliver. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. I'm sorry, everyone. It's not entertaining after a few minutes, is it?
No, just finish that.
Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you're valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world. So, it's a really great message in that. Everybody does have some kind of, it doesn't have to be rich and famous and whatever. Even in the smallest deeds in a day, there's greatness.
There are. And, you know, if you're on the live broadcast page, if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you'll see our sacred obligations. We have five primary ones. The fifth one is deliver your greatness. You know, that's a sacred obligation that we have. And we do that by doing no harm, by doing right, by giving people the good word of encouragement, which so many people desperately need. Most people do. You know, you can never go wrong being encouraging to other people, celebrating their victories, patting them on the back when they have victories, and being happy for them. And those are always, many, many ways of delivering greatness. And so, all right, let's start taking names for cards, and we'll have Michael write them down, and we'll have Michael pull the first one. And looks like we've got Fran wants a card, and they're all.
All right. All right, so pulling a card for Fran.
Angie wants one too, but she wants Vicky's cat to pick hers.
All right, and I pulled number 28, do no harm, do right. Good
Gee,
card.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles. Heard that one more than a few times, but it's always good to hear. It's always good to reinforce.
It is. And, you know, the big thing is how can we not step it up a notch in doing no harm, but doing right especially. And doing right is part of that is paying it forward, which is another one of our sacred obligations. It's the work we do. We pay it forward. How can we pay it forward? How can we step it up a notch just a little bit? You know, most of us are in the habit of doing that, but can we do it a little bit more? Can we look for new ways? Because, you know, look, when we pay it forward, we get as much benefit as the other person. We do. All right, Errol is next, I believe.
Go ahead, Michael. Pick one for Errol there.
All right, let's see. And I have number 42, trust and integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself, intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Yeah, that's, you know, we have to be true to ourselves above all else. We have to remain true to ourselves. You know, and we've talked about this many times. When we're not true to ourselves, we're being true to somebody else and their ideas, their belief system. And so we are, in essence, taking on their identity in many ways. It can happen. So be true to yourself. And if that means that relationships are lost over that, then that's what that means. That's just a healthy self-concept.
All right, I'll pick one here for Dr. Angie. And my cat's gone now. I don't know if anybody heard me hiss at him. Sorry, I thought I was muted.
You were.
Maybe I think. Well, that's good.
I didn't hear any hissing.
Well, I hissed at him, and then he growled and walked away. But Angie, I have number 17 for you. Reinvention. Whoa. That's, you know, we're talking about changes, and we're, you know, talking about, of course, measures of control, too, we're talking about. But reinvention, it just falls nicely into this whole topic that we've got going on. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal. So, which then, of course, is vital to your future and your successes and endeavors. And, of course, your happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they're healthy. Answer these questions. What do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented? And I think this is one of those moments where, you know, wanting change. It's when you desire a change or you're looking at a change. Or, you know, something's not moving forward quite and it just says, you know, there's a reinventing moment going on. So maybe that in some way you can relate to, Angie. I think it's a profound message for everybody, but specifically if there's something in your life that you're reinventing at the moment, it's a really powerful message to go deep inside and not external but internal.
Good. All right.
We have Wendy next if you want to
Yeah.
That, Michael?
Absolutely. Be more than happy to. And Wendy, for you I picked, let's see, I have number 39, education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life, experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
A good one.
Mm-hmm. Education's the name of the game.
Absolutely.
So, I guess you can relate to that too, Wendy, in some way. And you know, there's change in and of itself is the education.
Mm-hmm.
And for the heck of it, just as we were talking about that, I decided to pull a card and, you know, again, keeping with the flow. And I pulled a wild card, number 9, which is blank. You gotta love that blank card, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna read this. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked, that's for sure. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within. Now, I would like to put in a little disclaimer there. Well, first of all, the universe is always on your side. People may not be. And there's a distinction to make, especially when we're going through changes and, of course, the other, you know, areas we talked about. Again, this is about people versus the universe. The universe is on your side. It's the universe, it's the people we're navigating in and around. And it's to do our best to choose and live with the healthiest principles and stand by them and know how better to deal with ourselves in the face of negativity. So so when you think, boy, you know, what did I do to the universe, and the universe is going against me, that's not true. It's just that there's a bunch of stumbling blocks and, you know, lessons to be learned, and it teaches us, when I say, these navigation skills of and really good life skills that go with that, and how to continue to pursue and persevere into delivering our greatness. And wheel it right back to that.
Great. And I want to finish up the program with another topic of encouragement. Vicki, would you find the card in the guidebook on encouragement? I forget which number it is.
Okay.
But and I'll start talking, and once you find it, just tell me, and we'll have you read it, and then we'll go from there. But the thing that, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the thing that people need is encouragement. Those of you listening, I'm sure, could use a good pep talk or a good dose of encouragement. We face so many things in the world that are discouraging at times, and when we don't see enough positive changes that we're perhaps looking for, well, that can be discouraging, maybe even disheartening. But you know, things all happen in their due time. And if you keep focusing on what you want, not on what you don't have, but focus on what you want, it will come about. That's the way life works. You keep focusing on it. You keep working toward it. You keep visualizing it, and those things will come about. So the point is to be encouraged. Don't let discouragement set in. There's a lot of reasons we could be discouraged. But sometimes we just need to do a micro meditation or stop taking ourselves so seriously, stop taking life too seriously and the world too seriously. You know, it's not about us and it's not about them. It's about all of us together. And a lot of stuff in the news, you know, about the world's going to pot. It's always been going to hell, frankly, ever since I was a kid. The world's been going to hell. It's been getting worse, blah, blah, blah. It depends on who you listen to, doesn't it? You know, beauty is where you see it. And also negativity is where you see it. You can choose either one. Yeah, there's always going to be the negatives, but there's always going to be the positives. So focus on the positives. Focus on the upbuilding, the good, the clean, the pure, the powerful, and the positive, as Zig Ziglar says. Are you having a hard time finding it? Maybe we don't have
no,
one.
No, I have empowerment. I have positive consciousness, and I also have inspiration, motivation.
Pick one of those and read it.
Inspiration and motivation, it's number 45. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy.
Good. So, you know, when you feel discouragement setting in or whatever, look within. Dig deep. Okay? There's no reason to be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Let it go. Let it pass. Focus on the good stuff. And don't stop trying. Don't give up. Ever, for any reason, under any circumstances, never give up. You know, whatever you want to happen in your life, I'm talking about controlling the change that we have, whatever you want to happen, make it happen. Never say that's too hard. Never just accept the status quo. Always reach. You know, make it happen. Go out and make it happen. How hard can it be? You know, make it happen. And I can't stress that enough. If you want to do things in life, then for crying out loud, go do them. Or at least work toward doing them in some way. If you can't fully do them yet, work toward that. That might be research. It might be visualization in your meditation. It just, you've got to work for it. Go out and make it happen. You know, that's the reason you're even here tonight, is because I made this happen. It wasn't easy. This is not a piece of cake, you know, putting all this together. It took years. It took decades of grooming and learning and doing different things before I could even begin to start this church and the schools that we have. Not to mention writing all the courses that we have and you know, most of them. And all that experience and knowledge it took time to get, well, that's what you're getting too. And so whatever you want, go out and make it happen. And don't let life get to you. Don't let people get to you. And you can always find a reason to bicker at people, you know, but you can't let them eat you up. Don't take yourself too seriously. Don't take life too seriously.
You know, somebody's mentioned in the chat that she wrote a 6-page letter to the president of NBC once regarding their negative viewpoint. And of course, well, did they respond? No. Well, but you know, you participated, and that's the thing. It's not just about, you know, getting out the things we want for ourselves. I'll share this. I'm going to write a letter to my granddaughter's school. I went to the annual big, you know, kids concert this morning, and my granddaughter was singing, kids from all different schools all over. In her particular, the older group of kids in their choir sang a religious song. It's a public school system. And I find that it's not Christmas, it's not Easter, it's not any other time. I find it really offensive. That's number one. It's a public school. Religion's not supposed to be in a public school. And it's just a thing. Now, this is my being a conscientious observer and the fact that it's wrong. So I am planning to write a letter, but the letter will be very clear to say all the good things they do. These teachers are amazing. The school is amazing. Everything's amazing. Except there is this one point about a teacher sharing and getting kids to step outside of the school boundary and sing a religious song. You know, some about the Lord, and the Lord is my light or something. And that's how I participate. I'm going to write that letter. As a matter of fact, it's half written, and send it off tomorrow just as a conscientious observer that this is not the right thing to do. And I think that those are ways that we can all participate to feel like we are contributing to keeping things in check, for one thing, and maybe just reminding people, tapping them on the shoulders to say, sorry, that's not acceptable. So, of course, she's not here hearing me swear, so that's the difference. My daughter heard me swear sitting in the auditorium. But that's, again, it's based on a principle. So we're back to preference and principle. It's a really important thing. If it's a preference, so what? And that's why I say, you know, when it comes to these other holidays, Christmas and so on, you're going to hear these songs. Yeah, it's a preference that I don't, but oh well. There's no particular holiday right now, and this was out of order. So you want to feel like you're going to write a letter because it makes you feel good and it's the right thing to do. Do it. Participate. But be sure, please, to also say something positive so that you don't come off as some wingnut, which I have been known to do in my time. So. But I'm it's not the first time I've taken on religion. So there you go. But that's right. Just my extra point to add in there.
All right, we'll start the music and start wrapping up this program. I would like to point out to you that Michael made a great comment in the chat room, which is very true. He says it's important to be well-informed citizens, but it's equally important to remember that this is our time in this world and it should be lived and enjoyed. We need balance. That's good true. One. You got to live it and you got to enjoy it. Good, well put, son.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so tonight we have discussed many things as usual. We talked about dealing with change, greatness to deliver, doing no harm and doing right. Talked about trust and integrity, personal reinvention, education, encouragement, and inspiration and motivation. So, you know, be encouraged. Have hope. Life goes on and it'll only continue to get better and better overall as we go through things. Until next week. Appreciate everybody being here tonight, by the way, and those of you listening to the archives. Thanks to Dr. Hunter and Michael. Till next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.